because I am capable of the same blood and destruction, hate and torment, because they live in the shadows, and so do I. Scared, love, he murmurs, almost pressing his lips to mine. His breath is minty with a hint of scotch, wafting over me as I wiggle on his lap, feeling his cock harden against me. Of you? Never. Of not getting an orgasm anytime soon? Abso-fucking-lutely, I deadpan. Well, we can't have that, can we? He grins and stands, holding me against him before dropping me onto the glass table. His hands grab my thighs and shove them open before he twists his hand in the front of the shirt and tugs, snapping the buttons until it falls open and I'm bare before him. His eyes run down my body, his tongue darting out to wet his lips. Every fucking time I forget how beautiful you are. His hands drift up my thighs, his knuckles catching on the edge of my pussy, making me groan. Every goddamn time, love, you take my breath away. Prove it, I demand, spreading my legs farther. His eyes drop to my pussy and he groans as he falls to his knees. Having the great rider, the lead fucking viper on his knees looking so hungry like he could devour me whole, is heady. The power makes me smirk as I reach down and grab his head as he trails his tongue along my thighs, teasing me, punishing me. I might get Garrett to tattoo Ryder's property above this pussy. Not fucking likely, unless I get to tattoo Roxy's property on your cock, I snap, making him chuckle and blow warm air over my needy pussy. I shiver. Enough talking. Do you give the orders here, love? He challenges, nipping my thigh in punishment. Because I can easily fuck this tight little pussy, fill you with my cum, and leave you behind needy as hell without release. You bastard, I hiss. That's right, love. I'm your bastard. So lay the fuck on your back and let me stare at my property for as long as I goddamn please. You will get my cock when I tell you you get my cock. He growls, dragging his teeth into my skin. I jolt as I drop my head to the glass and close my eyes in pain. I'm so wet, it's embarrassing, needing him inside me, my empty pussy pulsing and clamping on air. Feeling his dark, hungry gaze on my pussy isn't helping. I actually jump when his fingers touch me, parting my lips before his tongue touches my clit, circling it, then tracing it down my center and dipping inside me, lapping at my cream hungrily. My hands tighten in his hair as I push myself against his face, grinding onto his tongue as my eyes flutter closed. My heart pounds and my body slicks with sweat. Rye, God, please, I implore, as he removes his tongue and lifts his head, those dark eyes meeting mine as he licks his lips. You taste like fucking heaven, he groans, before his head drops back to my pussy and he stops teasing. His eyes roll up to meet mine over my body as he wraps his lips around my piercing and sucks, making me come off the table with a moan. Releasing it, he laps at my pussy like it's his favorite fucking dessert. His fingers circle my hole playfully before dipping in and out barely an inch. I cant my hips, trying to get more friction, needing to come so badly it's my only goal. I'm mindless, aching for pleasure as I press closer. Words leave my lips, threats, promises, all making him laugh and tease me more until I finally stop and just relax, letting him do whatever he wants to me. Then, he shows me just how much he was teasing. His fingers slip into my pussy, stretching me, my breathing loud in the silent room as he plays my body like a fucking violin. His hands skate up my stomach and grab my breasts hard, squeezing them as he licks and flicks my piercing, tugging it. The pain and pleasure mix together. His wet fingers circle my nipples before tracing back down my body and slipping inside me. They scissor, rubbing my inner walls as he focuses all his attention on my clit. Each flick of his tongue and glide of his fingers has me rocking into his mouth. Ryder! I scream, as his teeth clamp down on my clit. It throws me over the edge, ecstasy washing through me as I jerk beneath him, my orgasm taking me by surprise and making me cry out. He licks me through it before crawling up my body and lapping my cream from my nipples. Panting heavily, I open my eyes to meet his dark ones. His chin and lips are coated in my release, and he looks fucking feral. I love it. That was just a start, love, he murmurs, his teeth catching on my nipple as I shiver beneath him. I just wanted you to realize that you belong to me, and only when you behave do you get what you need. I can't speak. My mouth is dry and my tongue is too numb to move, and he chuckles, the rat bastard. He flips me over and drags me to the edge of the table, stripping my shirt until I'm naked. His hands trace down my back before his mouth follows the path, his teeth digging into my ass cheek, making me groan. Diesel told me he fucked your ass with a knife. Is that true? He murmurs. I refuse to be ashamed. Yes? Good. Because I'm going to fuck your ass. Be a good girl, and I'll make you come more times than you can count. Be a brat, and I'll make it hurt. And while you're crying, I'll make you come, make you love the agony. God damn. Why is that so hot? His hands stroke along my ass before he slaps both cheeks, making me jerk and yelp. He laughs and rubs in the sting before he presses his cock to my pussy. He slides it back and forth across me before slowly pushing inside. He only thrusts two times. I'm starting to push back and meet his thrusts when he pulls out and leaves me empty. God damn it, Rye, I grumble, panting as I press my face to the table and my ass into his hands. Just getting my cock nice and wet for your plump little ass, he growls. My eyes flicker closed at that as I pant, my hips rolling instinctively. I can't help it. I need him so badly. He spanks me again, twice, before rubbing in that sting. I moan loudly, unable to help myself. He makes me so weak. Makes me surrender completely. When I relax, he licks my ass. Good girl, love. That's it. Relax and take my big cock. He presses the head to my ass and I relax as he pushes in. He's thick and big, and I can't help but bite my lip as he slips past my muscles. Good girl. Look how pretty you are, he praises as he pulls back and thrusts in, working his cock into my ass an inch at a time. When he's buried deep, he massages my cheeks. Such a fucking good girl. Look at you. God damn. I want to snap at his condescending words, but with his cock in my ass, I can't really complain. He chuckles like he knows my thoughts and slowly starts to move, fucking me gently, softly, holding back like normal, trying to protect me. I know he needs more. He needs pain and hurt as well as control, but Ryder loves me, fears hurting me. I need to break him. What's the matter, Rye? Going soft on me? I taunt. His hands dig into my hips as he slams into me harder, but it's still not enough. Ooh, please, Rye, don't hurt me, I mock. I glance over my shoulder at him. Your brother fucks harder. Need me to teach you how? His eyes narrow as I smirk at him. What's wrong, Rye? I lick my lips and push back, taking him deeper. No quick comeback, no demands or orders. Gotta say, I'm disappointed. You promised to hurt me. Guess it was all talk, Alpha, I jibe. That breaks him. He slams inside of me so hard and fast, it does hurt, making me cry out. His hand darts out and wraps around my throat, squeezing as he leans down and bites my ear. You want it to hurt. You want me to stop looking after you. He's clutching my throat so hard, I can't breathe. Fine. You think you can take it, love. Prove it. He pulls out of me and lets go of my throat. Yanking me up, he spins me so fast, my head whirls and I stumble. He doesn't care. He drags me over to the window and smashes me into the glass. A sharp pain goes through my injured ribs, and when he grabs my hands and slams them to the window above me, my injured shoulder and finger twinges. The pain melts through me, turning to pleasure, my cream dripping down my thighs. His hands go to my hips and he jerks me back, palming my ass as he pushes back inside me again with quick, hard thrusts, not gentle now. He forces his cock into my ass over and over until I'm being pounded against the glass. But it's not enough for him. His hand strokes down my side, those elegant fingers tracing my ribs, and then he squeezes the still aching, healing ribs until I scream in pain, shuddering around him. It makes him groan as he fills me with his cock. Fuck, love. You scream so sweetly. No wonder Dee loves it. I can't help it. The pain fades to pleasure, especially when he reaches around and rubs my clit, driving me back to that peak again, even as my body protests the fucking. But suddenly he pulls out again, leaving me cold and shivering against the glass as I wobble on unsteady feet. My ass is sore, my ribs hurt, and my pussy throbs like a heartbeat, dripping my cream as I slowly come back from the edge of release. Turning my head, I watch as he strides over to the table in the corner, his fingers running over the objects there.
I wonder, Oxy, just how far are you willing to go?
He looks over at me, dragging his eyes down my body.
Just how far can I push you? Hurt you?
He grabs a bottle of fancy water from the side and I freeze, wide-eyed as he comes back to me, kicking open my legs and pressing it to my pussy.
Thought you could handle it, love.
He taunts as he slams it inside me. I scream at the burst of pain, followed by a whimper as he grips my hips and pushes back into my ass. The bottle and his cock stretch me so much it borders on agony. He keeps me there, riding that fine line as he starts to move. He keeps the bottle still, my pussy clamping around it as he slams in and out of my ass, making me ride the object. It feels so fucking wrong, so goddamn dirty, but good. I'm so full I can't even think, barely breathe. Rye, God, I cry out, feeling the bottle slip further inside me with each punishing thrust of his cock in my ass.
If they look up, they can see you, love, see you getting fucked, knowing you belong to us as you scream into the night.
He snarls into my ear, biting down afterwards and making me jerk back onto his cock. Fuck, 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 please, Ryder, I beg, shaking my head. It's too much. The sensations are overwhelming me, the cool glass against the front of my body at odds with the heat of his body behind me. The round bottle fills me, stretching me, and makes my ass that much tighter for his huge cock. Every movement is pain and pleasure. I want to stop it, yet I can't get enough. He's making me ride that edge, the edge he always rides. But I meant what I said. He could never hurt me. Even now, even when his hands dent my hips, his cock forces my ass to stretch around him, and the bottle he shoved inside me makes me wince, I still want it. Want more. Want everything. When his strong, sure fingers wrap around my throat, anchoring me as he pounds into me, I lose it. My eyes close, stars bursting behind them. I can't hear over my own heartbeat, and between one thrust and the next, I explode. He snarls into my ear as he reaches down and, as I'm in the throes of release, yanks the bottle from my pussy and slams it back in. One orgasm tumbles into the next, pulled from me on his command. He fucks me through them, keeping me on that edge until he can't take it anymore. He slams into me, grinding down as he does, filling my ass to the hilt as he groans. I feel him explode inside me, my pussy aching now as he slowly extracts the bottle and tosses it away. I feel raw, sore, and used. And oh, so fucking satisfied. A smile curls my lips, even as I slump into the glass, breathing heavily. He presses along my back, wrapping an arm around my middle as he helps me stand, both of us sweaty and trembling with aftershocks.
Christ, Roxy,
he groans, licking and kissing my cheek.
How did I get so lucky?
Sometimes you gotta steal a few girls before you meet the right one, I tease, voice low and husky from my screams. He chuckles breathlessly and groans when it jerks him inside me.
Love, I steal things every fucking day. I'm a goddamn mobster. But you're the best thing I ever stole, and I plan on showing you that for the rest of our lives, until you get bored with us and try to kill us.
Try? I taunt. Bitch, please. We both know there would be no try. He laughs again.
Admit it, love. We stole your heart.
Nah, you stole my pussy, I laugh, even as I melt back against him. Orgasms are the way to a woman's heart, though.
Well, I better get to work,
he murmurs.
60. Garrett. You sure you're okay, baby? I ask, and she licks her lips and nods. I was sent in here to check on her. We're all dressed and ready, but everyone can wait until she's ready to go. We only told her yesterday that today would be Sam's funeral. She liked him, and we knew this would be hard for her, but it's important we go. Her black dress is modest and falls just below her knees, her leather boots leading up to meet the hem. Her makeup is kept to a minimum, but her necklace, which she never takes off, is the only colour. She looks fucking beautiful without even trying. And sad. She likes Sam. She had become friends with him, even. Though we threatened him. And now he's dead. And his funeral is today. I know she's struggling and she feels guilty, blaming herself and missing him. She needs comfort right now, and I'm not the best choice for that. But she has no one else here right now, so me it is. Wrapping my arms around her, I drag her back to my chest as I look at her in the mirror. You've got this, baby. All eyes will be on us today, but you can do this. We will be right there. Just hold it together for a little longer, and you can break all you need to later, I promise.
I don't care about the eyes, I care about his family, she snaps and then sighs. Sorry.
Don't ever be sorry for caring, I murmur and kiss her cheek. But we need to go, baby.
I know, she whispers and then shakes herself. Okay.
She slips on some shades before turning and placing her hand in mine. I lead her out and down to the cars where everyone is waiting. Tony is there to drive us in the limo and everyone is wearing black suits. The scene is morbid. Roxy drags me over to Tony, not letting go of my hand like it's a lifeline. He smiles down at her sadly and she returns it.
Are you okay?
She asks him. Our selfless viper. She might be a cruel bitch sometimes, but she has a heart of fucking gold when it comes to people she cares for. He was a good friend, but he loved what he did, he sighs. Doesn't mean I won't miss the kid. Roxy nods.
I'm sorry, Tony, I really am. Take as much time off as you need and we will be here for you.
She offers, without questioning the fact that she just ordered our staff around. It makes me smirk, and Ryder laughs before coughing to cover it up. Tony smiles at her. Yes, Miss Roxy, thank you, but I would rather be here protecting you.
God damn this man, now we can't kill him and he knows it.
Roxy nods and leans up to kiss his cheek, but freezes and looks at us, her eyes narrowed.
You kill him and I chop off your dicks.
She kisses him before letting me pull her off to the limo. Ryder grabs her throat and drags her closer as Diesel presses to her back.
One time exception, love.
Diesel sniffs her neck.
I'll still kill him,
he threatens. It makes her laugh and glance back at him.
No, you won't, because it would hurt me. And unless it's physical pain, you hate it.
Diesel snarls and pulls away.
Bloody little bird, too smart for her own good.
It makes her smile, though. And that is what we all wanted. Kenzo leans down and kisses her softly.
I won't let them, darling. Come on, it's time, and then we can come back and eat pizza and drink beer.
He straightens and winces in pain, making her sigh. I myself don't let the pain show, even though each step tugs on my stitches and makes me want to punch someone. But she knows because she walks slower than normal. And when I slip stiffly into the limo, she smiles and kisses me. Fuck. I'd get tortured every goddamn day if this is the result. The drive to the church doesn't take long. Roxy sits between us, quiet for once. And when we pull up to the busy car park and see the cameras there, she winces. They might not have known Sam, but they knew we were coming, as are some of the most powerful people in the city. It's almost a celebrity funeral. As soon as our door opens, they are there, firing questions and taking pictures. It's not the first time. We manage to avoid the press frequently, but being the bachelors of the city, as they call us, it happens every now and again. I know Ryder and Kenzo had to deal with it for their mother's funeral, too. But we know how to handle it. Ryder takes Roxy's hand. We already decided to present her with him to the press to keep her safe and the questions at bay. He slips out and wraps an arm around her, ignoring the cameras as I push through, with Diesel and Kenzo behind him, to part the crowd. We walk quickly, but not too fast, to the church, only relaxing when the door shuts. Heading down the aisle, we take one of the front pews, and I glance over to see Sam's widow alone on the other side. Tears slowly roll down her cheeks, and her eyes are far away. Her hands are clenched together in her lap, trying to hold it together. Roxy follows my gaze and sucks in a breath before getting to her feet. I grab for her, but she sidesteps my hand and, ignoring the people staring, she covers the distance and sits next to Sam's widow, silently taking her hand and holding it. The woman glances over in shock, but Roxy doesn't talk or prod, just sits there for her. We nod at Tony and he goes and sits on the woman's other side. I hate that Roxy is so far away, but I know why she did it, so Sam's wife wouldn't be alone. I can't protest or drag her back, though, because the ceremony starts. It's a good one as far as funerals go, and when we are directed to the cemetery nearby, Roxy finally heads over to us and leans into Ryder's side. He kisses her cheek and follows everyone out of the church, where the cameras are still waiting, photographing everything, the bright bulbs flashing and making me growl. I once smashed their cameras. I'm tempted to now, but I can't. This isn't about us. Not today. So I endure it, but I stick close to Roxy just in case. We circle around her, creating a protective bubble as we head through the grass and old stones. While we walk across the grass, Roxy finally speaks. I was alone at Rich's funeral. No one should go through that alone, she whispers. We say nothing, but we press closer, hating that she was alone when she needed us. If only we found her sooner, but she's right, we can't change the past. Only how we act in the future. And Roxy will never be alone again. We all stand in the wind around the grave as the coffin is lowered into it. When it's over and people start to disappear, Roxy leans down and throws some dirt on the wood. I'm sorry, she whispers, her voice choked. Baby, I murmur. She stands and looks over at us, tears in her eyes and anger vibrating from her body. There is nothing we can do to help, and I hate that. I feel fucking useless. My fists clench at my sides with the need to hurt, to destroy, and help. But she needs softness, kindness right now, and I don't know how to offer that. She doesn't care that we have no softness. She reaches for us anyway. There, with cameras and the eyes of the city on us, she reaches for all of us. We all share a look. We are not embarrassed by our relationship, and anyone who has anything to say can die. But we didn't want her reputation ruined. We are helpless, however, when it comes to her. So Diesel presses to her side, and I hold her hand as Ryder presses against her back. Kenzo grips her other hand. With her in the middle of us all, I hear gasps and whispers, but we don't care. This isn't about us today, but a man who gave his life to save ours. A true fucking hero. 61. Kenzo. Roxy is quiet today, and these idiots don't know how to act. Ryder offered money to the widow. Garrett offered to hurt someone. Diesel offered to kill someone. They all looked flabbergasted when it didn't work. Shaking my head, I sweep Roxy into my arms and lay down on the sofa, gripping her tightly. It's okay, darling, we are here, I whisper to her. And she buries her head in my chest, twists her hands in my shirt and cries. I hold her through it, stroking her back and kissing her head, telling her we are here, that we love her, that I'm sorry. Her tears do funny things to my heart, though, making it ache. They affect the others as well. Garrett mumbles about going to fight. Ryder seems helpless and stares at me in pain. Diesel growls and storms away, probably to kill someone. But she doesn't need that right now. She just needs to feel, so I let her. And when she finally lifts her head, I brush her tears away and press kisses to her face. I love you, darling. I love you too, she whispers, her voice thick, before lowering her head again. That's how she falls asleep in my arms, and I look to Ryder, who watches her with his face contorted in pain. You knew what to do, he murmurs lowly so as not to wake her. I nod and he sighs, scrubbing his face. I didn't. You don't have to know how to do everything. She needs us all, I whisper. And he nods and gets to his feet. I'm going to work. I'll check in on her bar and everything. Let me know if she needs anything. He walks away then, almost running. These idiots. When faced with tears, they turn into scared little boys. I don't tell her about the breaking stories and gossip spreading about us all. Everyone wants to know about a woman who tamed the vipers. The picture of her between us at the funeral is being spread everywhere.
Ryder put protections in place, of course, and keeps her identity a secret so they can't dig up her past and hurt her. But every eye is on us now. Everyone wants to be her. But all we want is her. Our Roxy.
Ken's home,
she whispers, half asleep. Shifting, I pull her closer. Hey, darling. She blinks her eyes open and looks up at me.
Sorry, didn't mean to cry all over you,
she sighs. Cry all over me any time, Rox, I grin. It's an excuse to keep you close. She snorts and rolls over, so I flip onto my side and hold her in my arms as she absentmindedly traces her finger across my chest.
I guess it brought it all back. I kept seeing Rich.
She hiccups and I hold her tighter.
It's easy sometimes to not think about it, to just keep busy so I don't have to, but I couldn't today.
That's okay, darling. You're allowed to miss him. You're allowed to hurt. You loved him. I soothe, and then deciding now is the time, I pull the picture from my pocket and hand it over. I thought this might be important. I took it the day we took you. She grabs the photo and stares down at it, tears filling her eyes again, even as she smiles.
He was a fucking hard man. So gruff and snappy, but God, I miss that. I miss his, hey girl, get your ass over here. He would pretend he didn't care, but whenever I needed him, he was there. Never judging, just understanding.
He sounds like an amazing man. I wish I could have met him. She nods, brushing her hand over the photo.
Thank you for bringing it.
Always. Tell me more about him, I request. She sighs and looks at me.
He would have hated you guys. Probably would have tried to kill you. I remember this one time I brought a guy back.
I listen to story after story about the first man she ever loved, and I can't help but fall more in love with her. She loves so deeply, cares so deeply, and I owe that man everything. Without him, I might have lost Roxy before I even knew her. For that, he has my respect and loyalty, and I would ensure he is never forgotten. For her. I have an idea, I tell her later on, when we're just watching the sunset through the windows. I know she's been thinking about starting a fund in his name, but maybe, just maybe. Why don't you name your new bars after him? She shuffles back further against me where we sit on the balcony.
You think Ryder would let me?
They are yours, darling, not his. Name them whatever you want. It was just an idea, I offer, wrapping her tighter in my arms.
That's a good idea. He would like that, she whispers.
And I press my face to her head.
Kenzo.
She murmurs.
Yeah, darling. I still fucking hate you all, and I want my bat back,
she snaps. I can't help but laugh, and she joins in. And when we stand up and she pushes me into the pool, I come up sputtering but smiling. She's gonna be okay. Roxanne is a fighter, but she will never have to do it alone again.
62. Diesel.
What do you think?
Ryder asks, sweeping his hand out to encompass the ass. It's homey. I never pictured myself in a home like this, but now that we are starting our family properly, it makes sense. The massive bed in her room is a nice touch, I snort, flicking open my lighter and lighting a fag. He smirks.
I figured you'd like that almost as much as the basement.
I perk up at that. Basement?
Basement, he nods. To turn into yours and Roxy's dungeon. Do whatever the fuck you want down there to each other, but work stays at the apartment building.
Fucking deal.
I murmur around the cigarette.
God damn it, I can't wait. Think of all the toys I could fit it with. The house itself is a fucking safe house. It's massive, with barriers, fencing and guards ready to patrol. It has an armory, bulletproof windows and escape tunnels. It's a goddamn fortress. Just what we need. It's also black. Like our fucking souls. All black, the outside and even most of the inside. Roxy will love it.
Thought I'd even ask when Ryder had the time to start on this project. It's clear he's had this house renovated to his specifications, the sneaky bastard.
But he's right. Our apartment is nice, but it's not a home. This is, with little bird. I can't wait to show it to her and play in our new dungeon. I'll have to get her a housewarming gift,
Whips are good for that, right?
I must say it out loud because Ryder laughs and claps me on the shoulder. It's a good job she loves you, Dee, because you are one crazy bastard. I blow smoke in his face for that.
Yep, but little bird wouldn't have me any other way.
I'm thinking we could be in as soon as the end of the month. I'm going to need help, but with Roxy busy working on her bars, this should be easy enough to do. Garrett is already working with security specialists to secure it, and I've set up a home office so I can be around more. What about Kenzo? I inquire, trailing my hand across the black and gold marble kitchen counter. He's aware I wanted him to have the home he always wanted as well. This was the place he used to want when we were kids. He's happy to work from home as much as he can, which is why the garage is so big. For his toys, he informs me. A home. I sigh and look at him. Got to admit, never thought I would have another one. Me either, he replies, looking around. But it feels right. I nod.
It does, as long as you get a maid or some shit. Blood will be hard to get off these floors.
They will be fine, he purses his lips, looking at the tile. I'll grab my blade, slice my hand and let it drip onto the floor. Clean it up and let's see. Fucking hell, D, he snaps, and looks around for something to clean the blood with. Blowing out more smoke, I watch him rip off his jacket and drop it onto the blood and start cleaning while my hand drips more and more on the tiles. Fucking wanker. Carry on and I'll ruin your little bird surprise for you.
Surprise? I ask, freezing.
He smirks, then stands, holding his jacket away from him with a disgusted sneer. Yes, surprise, asshole. Try me.
I wrap my hand, wondering what little bird is up to.
Fuck, I hope it involves pain and her pussy.
I've been missing our little sessions, but I wanted to give her time to heal after what happened.
Roxy. I'm going for a nap. Want to join me? I ask the room in general.
A nap? Garrett snorts. What am I, 80? Don't think I don't know Ryder is making you look after us.
Popping my hands on my hips, I glare at them both. Fine. Then let's cut the shit. Get your fine asses upstairs and rest. You need to heal, and the longer it takes, the longer you will have to sit around acting like fucking weak bitches. His mouth drops open, and I grin sweetly. And the longer you'll have to go without sex. That gets them moving. Kenzo scoops me up into his arms, and they take the steps two at a time, heading to his room. He throws me onto the bed where I bounce as they quickly strip. My mouth drops open at all the skin and muscles, but they don't give me time to drool as they climb into bed, Kenzo on one side and Garrett on the other. They both try to pull me into their arms, and it starts a tug of war with me in the middle. I'm not a fucking toy. Stop tugging at me like you do your cock, I snarl as I slip under the quilt and press my front to Garrett's chest. I feel Kenzo press against my back, their legs and arms wrapping around me.
If your cock so much as touches me, I'm out, Garrett growls. Got it. No crossing swords,
Kenzo teases, making me giggle as I close my eyes. Sleep. Now, I demand.
So fucking bossy, darling. All you need is the suit and then your rider.
I snort at that. Nah, I'm smarter than him. Don't tell him that, though. He'll cane my ass. Garrett grins and snuggles closer.
And you would love it, baby.
Too fucking right. Now sleep so I can have wet dreams about canes and cock. They both groan but quiet down, even as I feel Kenzo's hard cock pressing against my ass. I wiggle back and push into it. He groans and nips my shoulder.
Behave.
I huff. I am. That was a mistake.
Uh-huh, you big tease.
I mumble something about them both being wank stains, but I do eventually manage to sleep. When I wake up, I'm hot and bothered, with two very hard cocks pressing against me and wandering hands gripping my legs and sliding back and forth. You're cheating, I mutter sleepily.
The nap worked. I'm healed,
Garrett declares, stroking higher and pushing up the shirt I'm wearing.
Me too. All healed,
Kenzo agrees, kissing across my shoulder.
So fucking healed.
Uh-huh. We could tear your stitches, I protest. But not too strongly, because shit, I'm wet as hell and already aching for them. The harsh hands and teasing lips are getting me all wound up. I almost lost them both, and since then we haven't been together. I'm craving their bodies as reassurance that they are really here, really alive, and don't plan on dying on me. Nurse, I require you to heal me, Kenzo grins against my skin as Garrett caresses over my knickers. Shit. Me too, Garrett murmurs. I've heard the best form of treatment is with orgasms. I huff and try to wiggle free, but they clamp their legs around me to stop me from moving away. My hussy vagina is on team sex too, basically holding up a sign saying, screw me. Healing, I blurt. Rest. But they ignore me, the stupid wank stains, and their stupid seductive penises. Peni? What's the plural of penis? Oh, who the fuck cares? Fuck it, I mutter, and Kenzo breathes out a laugh. Thank fuck. He flips me and grabs my head, yanking my lips to his as Garrett kisses down my shoulder and slips down my thighs to part them before throwing one over Kenzo's leg. I rip myself away and roll to the end of the bed, raising my knees to stare at them. They turn over and grin at me. Garrett's arm goes behind his head, his chest muscles stretching enticingly as I run my hands down his torso before looking to Kenzo, who's watching me hungrily, his chest bare too. They look like two fucking Greek gods, all dark eyes and muscles, and they both watch me, waiting for me to make a move. Two predators observing and waiting, but they should know I'm the bigger one, and I have them exactly where I want them. Wanting me, waiting for me to make a move. A viper's game of who strikes first. I'm Roxanne fucking Viper. They don't say how or when, I do. Gripping the bottom of my shirt, I smirk at them. You want this off? They both nod, and Garrett releases a rumbling groan as his eyes drop to my thighs and back up my body again, making me shiver with desire. From one fucking look. It isn't fair, the power these men have over me, but then again, I have the same power over them. They are poised and ready to strike, all coiled muscles and power, but they watch and wait, listening to me. Bending to my will. Then you will do as you're told. Kenzo grins as he leisurely leans back, those charming lips curling in his arrogant smirk, his eyes glittering with respect and need. Do tell, darling. I debate how this is going to work. Garrett is the most hurt, but he won't be able to be beneath me. I flicker my gaze to him, and we share a small smile, silently asking if he can handle this. I don't want to hurt him further, but his eyes darken and greedily drop to my body. I want Garrett in my pussy, I murmur, my heartbeat kicking up a notch in excitement, and you in my mouth. I look back at Kenzo as I crawl closer on the bed, poising above his lap. His mouth parts slightly, his eyes widening, and he seems unsure on what to say for once, making me smirk as I blow air across him. That's a problem, darling. Garrett groans, his hand reaching out and pinching my side. Be nice. Oh, I am. If I was being mean, I would sit here telling you all the things I want you to do. Like Kenzo filling my mouth with his cum until I have no choice but to swallow, while you fuck me hard and fast, your thick cock filling my pussy until I'm screaming. I glance over and wink. See? Nice. His eyes narrow on me and he slaps my side.
Better get to it then, baby. Open that pretty mouth and be real nice to Kenzo, he orders, as he gets to his knees and moves around me until I can't see him anymore.
I shiver in anticipation, but when he doesn't touch me, I glance back at Kenzo and pull down his boxers, his hard cock springing free as he watches me hungrily, desperately. Is that what you want? I purr. For me to be nice. He swallows hard, his Adam's apple bobbing with the movement as he watches me, entranced. Grabbing his hand, I pull it up, and as he watches, suck his finger into my mouth, wrapping my lips around it and lashing it with my tongue. He groans, and I jump as Garrett smacks my ass hard as hell. It surprises me so much, I let Kenzo's finger fall from my mouth as I jerk forward. The sudden pain almost causes me to yelp until his big rough hand starts to massage in the sting, making me moan and push back.
Baby,
I said nice.
Kenzo digs his fingers into my hair, the long, lean digits working through the tangles until he angers at the base, wrapping it around his fist and dragging me closer.
You heard him, darling.
He tugs me down but lets me choose what I want to do, which is always him. Encircling my hand around the base of his hard cock, I roll my eyes up to his as I suck the mushroom head into my mouth. He groans, his hips lifting and forcing his cock in deeper. Garrett's hand strokes down my spine and back up where he presses my head down until my ass is in the air. Swallowing Kenzo fully, I bob up and down, but stop when he starts slow, measured thrusts into my mouth, trying to make this last. I let him for now. Just staring into those eyes as I feel Garrett behind me, his big hands spanning my hips before they slide down and drag my thighs open.
She's fucking drenched, brother,
he growls as his hand dips to my pussy and parts my lips, stroking me lovingly.
So fucking wet, but we are going to need more for you to take my big fat cock, baby.
Shit. His dirty words almost have my mouth popping off Kenzo's cock, but he grunts and drags me back down again, using my air to move me how he wants until I have no control. Garrett ignores my struggles and dips his finger inside me before adding another and stretching me. He curls them and strokes along my walls and the nerves there, which has me bucking. Pleasure pounds through me, and my body is almost shaking as he teases. My pulse thumps. I am that turned on, imagining him behind me, watching me suck his brother's cock as he strokes me. Fuck. I moan around Kenzo and he grunts, twisting his hand in my air until a splash of pain sparks through me, which makes me clamp around Garrett's fingers. He chuckles, the bastard, and pulls them free, stroking back up to rub my clit, fast and hard. I push back, my pussy clamping on air, desperate to be filled, but he doesn't. He ignores me and just keeps rubbing my clit until suddenly my release hits me out of nowhere, blowing through my body like one of Diesel's bombs. I whimper around Kenzo's cock, making him groan as his hips stutter for a moment before speeding up, pushing faster into my mouth until I have to hold on, even as I shake from the aftershocks. But I have no time to calm down, because Garrett's cock is there, the thick mushroom head pressing to my entrance as he strokes my side lovingly.
So fucking beautiful, baby. Out of all the fights I've been in, I've never been happier than to win the one for you.
He rasps, which makes my heart skip a beat. How can he say such things when I can't respond? In fact, that's probably why he did it, the bastard. He laughs like he can feel me insulting him, and gripping my hips, he yanks me back, impaling me on a few inches of his cock before pulling out and working his way back in.
Fuck. She's so goddamn tight.
He growls through clenched teeth, making Kenzo groan beneath me, his cock jumping in my mouth as he desperately rolls his hips.
Fuck, 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 he pants. Her mouth is too fucking much, man, and those eyes.
He flutters his open and locks them on me, groaning loudly.
I can see your hunger in them, just how much you like sucking my cock, darling. You kill me. I'm helpless even now, when I'm trying to make this last, to keep your mouth on me as long as I can.
Popping free of his cock, I drag my teeth down his length before licking back up. Why? I murmur, voice hoarse. I already said I want you fucking my mouth and shooting down my throat, I purr, as I lick the head, tasting his pre-cum, which makes me groan. My eyelids flutter closed, and I lick my lips, opening my eyes before rolling them back to him as Garrett pushes in another inch, pushing me forward, Kenzo's cock hitting my lips. He drags me closer with my hair, and his eyes turn wild, desperate. I open my mouth like a good girl and swallow him as Garrett finally bottoms out in my pussy and stills. His thick cock stretches me to the point of pain, and yet he doesn't move, but I need him to. He has to, because him just filling me like this, fuck. I push back and he smacks my ass again. Not a soft love tap, no. He fucking tans my ass so hard I cry out around Kenzo.
Behave, baby. I know that's hard for you, but if you don't, I'm going to fuck you and spray my cum in your pussy without letting you come again.
He growls. Bastard. I mumble around Kenzo's cock, making him groan and narrow his eyes.
Don't do that.
He grunts, his thrust stopping as he throws his other arm over his eyes.
Fuck her, Garrett, because I'm not going to last much longer. You hear that, baby? Is he close? Is his cock filling your mean little mouth?
Garrett asks, as he pulls out and slams back in, forcing me to take Kenzo's cock deeper, all the way down my throat, which makes Kenzo yell and jerk. Garrett laughs, pulling out and slamming inside, each thrust pushing me back and forth on Kenzo's cock like he's controlling us both. My eyes widen and water as he hits the back of my throat over and over, but I don't gag. I'm stuck between them, my other hand ripping into the bedding and fisting it as I take what they give me. Garrett's smooth strokes slowly rebuild that fire inside me, stoking it with each twist and roll of his hips. Kenzo's moans fill the room, and he finally gives up trying to hold back. He moves his arm, his eyes heated and locked on me, his hand painfully tugging my hair. But it's oh so fucking good. Kenzo is wild beneath me now, his hips lifting desperately, fucking my mouth hard and fast. Saliva drips from my lips, my cheeks ache, and my hand squeezes the base of his cock until he's grunting. His eyes slip shut, and his mouth is wide open. His amazing chest is covered in sweat, and his abs clench as he tries to hold back. Garrett grunts, his thrust speeding up until he's just fucking me hard and fast, the way only my enforcer ever can. No games, just raw fucking. Nothing held back. He owns my body, not questioning whether I'm enjoying it, since he makes me. His thick cock fills me and drives me to my limits again and again. I push back to meet him, panting around Kenzo's cock. Darling, fuck, God, I'm going to, Kenzo warns, his cock swelling in my mouth. I swallow him, locking my lips around his base, and hum. He yells and jerks in my mouth, shooting his load down my throat before he collapses back onto the bed, his muscles shaking as he releases his hand from my hair and strokes along my cheek with shaking fingers. Fuck me. I love you so fucking much, it's unreal. Yeah, I don't answer that shit. It's a bit awkward to have a lovey-dovey moment with another man's cock still pounding away in your pussy. Not that he cares. He smiles with smug satisfaction and slips from my mouth. Swallowing, I wipe my lips as I laugh breathlessly, and that's when Garrett decides to show me he was just playing. His hand wraps around my throat, and he drags me to my knees, my back hitting his chest. Kenzo reaches out lazily and traps my hands in front of my stomach until I'm helpless but to take the hard pounding thrusts he slams into me, again and again. Fucking love being inside you, he growls in my ear. The dirty, guttural words are having me crying out as I push back as much as I can to take him, the new angle hitting a spot inside me that has my eyes nearly crossing. I swear you were enough to make a goddamn priest sin, baby. This whole ill body drives me wild until you're all I think about. Fuck. I even dream of your hot little cunt, of you bouncing on my cock and I wake up hard and wanting. His words undo me. I squeeze his cock as my eyes close. It's too much. Too fucking much. That spark is an inferno now, burning for him, for all of them. And each stroke of his thick cock inside me drives me higher and higher to that brink. My pleasure is his to control, and my damaged enforcer is giving me everything I always wanted. Him.
Fuck, baby. I can feel your pussy clamping down on me like a fucking vice. You like it when I talk dirty. You like it when I treat you like the bitch you are. When I fuck all this hate out of me.
I whimper in response, and his hand squeezes tighter, his thrust jiggling my breasts, and Kenzo groans at the sight, his tongue running along his bottom lip.
I think you love it. Love when I'm a dick to you. It gets you wet as hell. You love the fight, the game, until one of us finally gives in and breaks. Tell me, baby. Who's going to break first?
He murmurs, his tongue tracing my ear as he tries to slow his thrusts, but I slam myself back, taking him deeper, and he groans, his hand flexing on my neck. He has so much goddamn power. It's the same hand that kills men with a snap, which is covered in so much blood, he will never be clean. You, I grind out, making him grunt as I purposely squeeze around his cock. With a snarl, he releases my neck and pushes my face into the bed, his hands gripping my hips so hard I know it will bruise as he hammers into me. It's on the edge of pain, and it mixes with the pleasure until I'm shaking, just holding on as he proves just how much he hates me. I hate you. I hate you. I feel it chanting from my lips as I push back, meeting his wild thrusts. He grunts and slaps my ass again and again, until with one last thrust, he slaps his hand over my pussy, catching my clit and sending me tumbling over the edge with a scream. I come so hard I almost pass out, my vision dimmed, and when I come to, I'm shivering and shaking, my pussy dripping as I pant loudly. He drags me up again, stroking my neck lovingly as he kisses my throat. Relaxing back into him, I let him hold me up as I turn into nothing but a satisfied mass of sweating flesh. He chuckles into my ear, which makes me clench around him, and in turn causes him to groan and still.
God damn it, baby, you wreck me.
I fucking hate you, I murmur, my eyes closed.
I hate you too, baby.
He smacks my hip and I fall forward again as he releases me, his cock slipping free. We both tumble to the mattress next to Kenzo, who turns and pulls me into his arms, his cock hard once again, but we both ignore it. We fall into an exhausted heap, our bodies slick with sweat, and I notice Kenzo's wound is leaking blood, but he disregards it and snuggles closer. I want to check on Garrett's too, but he's behind me, and if the hard way he's holding me is any indication, it shows he has no inclination to move anytime soon. Morons. Ryder is going to kill us. But in my defense, how am I supposed to resist them? They have abs for fuck's sake. Those little dents of happiness are my weakness, and seriously, would any girl turn down orgasms from their powerful, tatted, muscly... Wait, I forgot my train of thought. Oh, fuck it.
I fucking love naps,
Garrett huffs, making us all laugh.
Naps are my new favorite thing, Kenzo states. I think I need some more healing.
He wiggles his eyebrows, making me smack his chest. Yeah, well, so does my pussy. So shut your mouth and let's actually nap, I order. And they both chuckle.
So cute when she orders us around,
Garrett mumbles, pressing closer to my back.
Baby, you think you can control us?
I don't think. I know I do. Now shut up and let me sleep, I demand, closing my eyes and, like I thought they would, they stay quiet. Yeah, I control these bastards. They just don't realize it. 63. Roxy. After our little nap, I wake up before the other two and leave them to heal. I text Ryder, mentioning he might need the doctor to check up on them, and then I fall into an exhausted slumber in my own room. I must have slept the rest of the day and night away, because when I wake up, it's sunny again, so it's clearly morning. I guess the last week has taken its toll, but I feel full of energy today, and when I stretch and hit something hard, I don't even scream. I just flip over, grab the knife from under my pillow, and have it at his neck in no time. Diesel barely opens one eye, but a smile curls his lips.
Morning to you too, little bird,
he murmurs, before grasping me and dragging me back to his chest. Dee, I gush, snuggling closer. I miss the crazy bastard. He was gone all day yesterday, busy working, he said.
Told you I would be free today. You've been busy,
he mumbles, stroking down my back even as I hold the blade to his throat. What can I say? I get bored, I tease, making him laugh before he groans.
We better get up. It's breakfast time and I'm starving. If no one feeds me soon, I might eat you.
He warns darkly, then chuckles. Anytime, babe, any fucking time. Sitting up, I slip from his chest with the knife still in hand and stroll naked to the shower. I hear his groan behind me.
Not fair, little bird,
I hear him call as I laugh and shut the door. After I've showered and dressed in a shirt, I head out to find them all at the table like normal. Honestly, I've missed these breakfast meets. It's the only time we're usually all together, and with Ryder going back to work and Diesel off and busy, it's not been the same. I slip into my seat. Ryder pours me a coffee and Kenzo fills my plate, his hand landing on my thigh under the table, after stroking it casually as I yank up my other leg and lay it on Ryder's lap. His hand drops to it and massages as he sips from his teacup. The sight of him doing that still drives me mad for some reason. Every day, I watch him drink from it like a goddamn ritual, like he has mesmerized me. He catches me staring and winks, and his eyes seem warmer today. Has he been melting more and more around us and I haven't even noticed? Hell, he doesn't even have his phone on him. "Morning, love," he murmurs, and leans over and kisses me ever so softly, tasting the coffee on my lips before he goes back to sipping his tea.
"Okay, D, update. Dryad Daddy is dead, roll right through a window, whoops, and yesterday I made sure there were no others hiding in the city."
He grins, flipping open his lighter and lighting a cigarette before snapping it closed. His feet come up and land on the table as he crosses his legs, still smoking.
"Garrett, how are you feeling?"
Garrett shrugs and finishes his mouthful before leaning back.
"Fine, the doc redressed the wounds."
He winks at me then, making me giggle.
"Kenzo?"
Ryder asks. Kenzo leans into me, still stroking my thigh.
"Healing and fine. You can thank Roxy here for our setback."
"Uh-huh," I shake my head. "It was all you fuckers. There I was, innocently napping.
With your ass pushing against my cock,"
Kenzo interjects, but I ignore him. "And you decided to have a quick sausage party." I grab a sausage on my plate and gesture through my fingers with it to explain, making even Ryder snort. That's when I realize this is their version of a check-in. Sometimes about business, sometimes family. This is how they stay together, because they listen. It's adorable, really, but I don't say that out loud, because four men would hunt me and prove it wasn't, in fact, adorable. Dropping it, I look to the man in question. "Ryder?"
"Yes."
He sounds confused. "No, I mean check in. How are you?" I snort. He blinks, and that's when I realize no one has ever asked him before.
Fine. I have an open day today."
He wipes his mouth and puts his teacup down.
"Which reminds me, we need to discuss something."
My stomach sinks, and I look around to see all their faces darken. "Going to try and kill me?" I query casually. Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them if they thought they had to.
"Not today," Diesel responds, toasting me with a cigarette. "We need to talk, love,"
Ryder repeats seriously, making me suck in a breath. Something is wrong. It has to be. But how does it involve me? I haven't beat anyone up today, so it's not that.
Ryder. I set her down on the sofa and crouched before her, holding her hand in mine. Kenzo and Diesel bracket either side of her, and Garrett stands behind her, protecting her back like always. "Love, we've been thinking." I'll share a look with the others, who nod their encouragement. "Your father." She narrows her eyes at the reminder, and I smile sadly and cover her lips with my hand before she can start shouting, telling us she hates us again. "Your father, Roxy. He needs to pay for what he did to you, both in the past and recently. We might have accepted the deal, but now that we love you," Kenzo inserts confidently. "Yes, love you," I nod. "It means we can't let an insult like that stand to our girl. Now, I know you hate him and he's responsible for heinous things in your past. Trust me, love, I understand that, which is why I want to know if you want us to deal with it." I release her lips and she licks them, looking between us.
"You mean kill him? You would do that?"
"Baby, when are you going to realise there isn't anything we wouldn't do for you?" Garrett snorts.
"I don't know if I can face him. It's been years,"
she admits, and Diesel presses closer. "I know, love, which is why I want you to let us do it for you." I reassure her, but I know before she's even decided she would never let us. This is her monster to slay. As much as I wish we could do it for her, he's hers to deal with. Our Roxanne would never make another deal with her issues. No, she's too strong for that. And it only makes me love her more.
No, you're right. It's been a long time coming. I guess I just...
She shakes her head.
Honestly, I forgot about him for a bit, but you're right. He will never stop.
She agrees sadly and meets my eyes. Hers are shaded with ghosts, but as strong as always.
Yes, I want to be there.
Just be there,
Diesel questions.
Because if you don't want to deal with them, you know I will, little bird.
She smiles, but it's an evil one, like the one she used to give us all the time.
No, he's my father. My responsibility. I want you there, though. This has been a long time coming, and seeing him again
will bring back memories. I nod, understanding that myself. We have your back always. You are our family now. Not his, never his. He will never hurt you again. She nods, reaching for Diesel's and Kenzo's hands. Garrett lays his on her shoulder, and I grip her knees as she sucks in a breath.
I guess I always knew he never loved me. This needs to happen. He will always think he can control me, use me, and that also extends to you now. I can't let him. It's time he paid for his sins.
She raises her eyes, and there's no weakness there now. Just a fucking viper flashing in those dark depths.
He dies today.
So be it.
64. Roxy. The drive there is quiet, as my men are letting me prepare for what's to come. They are right. He is a threat. Not just to me, but to them now as well. They are my family. He never was. He might be my blood, but all that means is that he was my beginning, not my middle or end. Blood doesn't always mean family. Sometimes you find your family in friends, in father and mother-like figures, or in lovers. I look around and smile, thinking sometimes you find that when you're least expecting it. Our family might be messed up, hateful, powerful, and rich, but when we are together, we're happy. We are safe, and that's all that matters. Now it's my turn to keep my family safe, to protect the men who would protect me against anything, who would hunt me and anyone who hurt me or us across this world and never stop. My father, no, I need to stop calling him that. Rob is nothing more than a threat, and to a viper, a threat is easy to deal with. We kill them. His blood might have saved him from me once, when I chose to run instead of fight. But he signed his death warrant when he decided he couldn't leave me be. Now a darkness fills me, one he created, a killer he made with his fists, with his cruel words and abuse. A fighter. A survivor. I survived him once, but he won't survive me ever again. I'm a motherfucking viper, and he is nothing. Just a dead man walking. We pull up outside the house. The sun is shining, and it warms me through the tinted window as I stare at the run-down house that once felt like a prison to me. How I used to crave Rob's love, or even for just his eyes to move along, to not see me. I left here as a child, and now I'm coming back as a woman.
Ready, love?
Ryder asks, breaking into my thoughts. I swing my head around to see them all staring at me, all offering me their strength. I nod and slip from the car, the slamming of the doors loud in the derelict neighborhood as they follow after me. We stand outside. Ryder, in a suit, Kenzo too, Garrett in his leather, and Diesel in his jeans and wife beater, but they scream money, and I guess I do now as well. My body is encased in ripped jeans, kick-ass boots, and a designer shirt. I came from nothing, just like my men, and now I own this town, with them. Walking up the path is like taking a trip down memory lane, as flashes of the night I ran away crowd my memory. It was night, they were asleep, and I was so scared to be caught, my meager possessions stuffed into a plastic shopping bag. I had fallen, scraped my knees and hands, and had to bite my lip to stop from crying out so they wouldn't hear. I looked back at the house, the curtains shut and windows dark, just like now. I reached the door, and sucking in a breath, I raise my hand and wrap my knuckles on the worn wood. We wait silently, but no one answers, so I knock louder and hear shuffling inside.
Yeah, if this is those Bible cunts again,
he slurs and rips open the door, freezing when his eyes land on the men and then me, a sneer curling his lips. His dark eyes, the same as mine, are filled with annoyance.
The fuck you want? You bought her, I don't want her back,
he snaps and tries to shut the door. I slam my boot in the way and then push it open, causing him to stumble back even as he starts to yell.
The fuck do you want? I covered the debt and I don't owe you bastards.
Ryder shoves him into a chair.
Sit down and shut up for once,
he snarls, before stepping away and leaning against the wall, rolling back his sleeves. Garrett shuts the door and stands before it, his arms crossed. Diesel wanders around the room, giggling and flicking open his lighter repeatedly. Kenzo stays close to me in case I need him. I'm frozen on the spot, though, looking around. It's smaller than I remember, smellier, too. I guess pain warps your memories. In my head, this was hell, and when I have nightmares about it, it all seems so much more. I guess facing it now is making me realize I have been building this place up in my head, and now that I'm standing here, I'm not afraid. My eyes return to the man who caused me so much misery. His shirt is dirty, stained, and ripped in places. His beard and hair are unkempt, his eyes blurry from whatever he was drinking or shooting up. His body is almost wasting away, lanky and skinny now, smaller than I remember too. His face is gaunt, his eyes sunken in, and his hair is thinning and greasy. I can't believe I used to be so terrified of this man. Walking around the couch, I drop onto the edge of the stained cushion and stare at him. Hi, Dad. How have you been? He snorts and turns his head to spit on the carpet, making me purse my lips in disgust.
The fuck you want? We had a deal.
Oh, yes. Me for your debt. I mean, really, Rob. Still using me as your punching bag because you're not adult enough to deal with your own issues? I laugh bitterly. He narrows his eyes on me but looks to Ryder.
Better control your cunt before I remind her who's still the man of this house.
Not you, by the looks of it, I snap, bringing his eyes back to me. They won't help you. They are here to help me.
The fuck you talking about, girlie?
He sneers, leaning forward and sniffing hard, wiping at his stained mouth. The fuck I mean is I'm one of them now, and they don't take well to anything or anyone being able to hurt us. Like you, Rob. You just keep coming back. I could have walked away if you had let me go when I ran, but you didn't. You sold me. You inserted yourself back into my life again. Yes, it worked out well for me, but I can't have that happening again. All it would take is the wrong person to come knocking, and you would fold like a cheap fucking suit, and the rat you are. I will not let you put us in danger, I snap.
Fine, whatever you say. What will it take to make you go away again?
He sighs, not getting it. I shake my head at him and wag my finger. Nothing you can afford, I taunt. He just laughs and leans back, his body seeming incapable of holding him up. I watch him then, really watch him, and realize just what a broken man he is. He has nothing or no one but the bar booze he drinks. He's getting older and will probably die soon from all the abuse he has put his body through. I can't do it. I can't kill him. Not because I still fear him or love him, but because he's nothing. He's pathetic. He's a ghost, and killing him won't bring my mother back or stop the nightmares. It won't change my past, and I wouldn't want it to. So I stand up, ready to leave. I got what I needed here. Closure. My past is dead and forgotten like this house, and I will leave the ashes where they lie. Buried.
I have money, he yells, staring at me. Take the money, girl, and we can be a family again.
I cringe at the word on his lips and my men step closer. I don't want to be part of your family. I have my own, I reply coolly.
Do as you're fucking told and listen to your daddy,
he barks, puffing up like he used to back then. But now, he just looks pathetic.
Don't worry, she does. And she will be calling me daddy later.
Diesel smirks even as I gag and glare at him. No, I fucking won't. My dad laughs bitterly, and I glance back at him.
Yeah, least you finally turned out good for something, right, girl? A whore for money.
It goes silent for a moment as the world holds its breath before my men burst into action, all rushing him. I watch them grab him, but a coldness flows through me, an anger to hurt the man who hurt me. Stop, I order calmly, and they do, all looking back at me. Drop him. Again, they do and step back, their eyes on me as I stop before my wheezing father, his face red as he falls to the floor. Crouching there, I tilt my head as I watch him. I used to fear this man so much. He haunted my every step. But now my vipers do, replacing him. How can I fear this broken man, when I have seen the evil the world has to offer and the snakes that fill my bed? He is weak. He is pathetic. This place is nothing but a house, and he is nothing but a man. Me? I'm a fucking snake, baby. I used to be so fucking scared of you, I admit. Those ghosts and phantom fears rising within me. I used to fear the dark, because it was when you hurt me. But then I faced those demons. I looked into the dark and embraced my fear because hurt comes both day and night. The monsters don't wait for the sun to set. This isn't a goddamn fairy tale. This is life and monsters. Monsters are everywhere. But they are human. Flesh and blood like me and you. I hated you for so long. You control over me even after I left. But I'm finally moving on, and to do that, to move on from you, I have to forgive you. To yank those claws free, to let the pain and the fear go. To forgive the dark and myself for hating you for so long and holding on to that until it warped me. He blinks hard in confusion. I see it now, how weak you are. Your own fear is in your eyes, fear of yourself, of what you are, of what you have become. But Daddy, you should fear what you created more. What the fuck? I shake my head and slap him, shutting him up. I'm talking and you will fucking listen, I yell. I was ready to walk away, to leave you here to rot, but now I won't. You will never hurt my family or me again. Maybe it would make me a better person, a stronger person to walk away, but fuck knows I don't care. I don't care that I want to kill you and what that means for me and my soul, because these men, they love me for it, and I'm tired of fighting myself. I am who I am, born out of blood and pain. I'm a fucking viper. You are nothing, just a cheap horse sleeping away to the top. And when they don't want you anymore, they will throw you away. He chuckles. Nah, they won't, I laugh. We are family. We are the thing people fear in the dark now. All of us are born from necessity, from people like you. They slayed their pasts, and now it's time for me to do the same. So any last words, Father? Fuck you, he snarls, throwing himself at me. I move, my hand already cupping the blade at my hip. He blinks in astonishment as I stare at him from inches away, my knife buried in his chin, piercing it from underneath, and spearing into his mouth as blood bubbles at his lips. His eyes dart from side to side in fear. Not very inventive last words, but they will do, I murmur. Don't ever fuck with the vipers. I pull the blade free and quickly slice it across his throat. Blood sprays me as his jugular is cut, covering my face and chest until I have to blink the droplets from my lashes. I can taste it on my lips, but I still don't move as I stare into his eyes. His hands come up to cover his neck, but Diesel is there and slaps them away quickly, laughing as we all watch the man, my father, finally meet the end he deserves. Maybe I should have walked away, been a good person and let him live. But I never claimed to be a good fucking person. It takes longer than I would have expected, but when he finally stills, his chest unmoving, his eyes are still open, but empty. Like me. Because I feel nothing. I thought I would, but I don't. This was just another job to do. To take care of. Diesel leans into my view, his hand tracing down my cheek and coming away covered in blood. I love you, little bird. It's over. I nod and he leans in, uncaring of the blood, and presses his lips to mine as I feel the others move closer, always there, always protecting me. Sometimes you don't need to find a hero. It's enough to find someone who will stand with you in the dark and not be afraid of blood and death. No, sometimes you don't need a hero. You need a criminal. A villain.
Let's go home, love,
Ryder murmurs, as his hand lands on my shoulder and squeezes. Yes, home. With my men. My family. My vipers.
65. Diesel.
2 weeks have passed since Roxy killed her dad. We dealt with the aftermath, of course, calling in clean-up and our police buddies so they would never know what really happened. Just another junkie dying in the slums. That's how they spin it. They can never hurt her again. If she hadn't killed him, I would have for what he did to her. He deserved worse. But it was her justice to give, and she did so beautifully. I could taste his blood on her lips when I kissed her. Can still hear her screams as Ryder and I washed her clean in the shower and filled up that emptiness we saw in her eyes with pleasure. I haven't seen much of Little Bird today, not since breakfast, and now it's almost the middle of the night. I've been busy at the house getting our new dungeon ready. But I'm starting to think she's suspecting something because she hasn't replied to my messages all day. So instead of pulling a long night to finish the dungeon, I head home intent on finding her after Ryder texts me. When I reach the penthouse, though, the door is open and everything is black. Narrow in my eyes, I rush inside, fear pounding through me. Little Bird! I yell, Roxy! No one answers. Grabbing my phone, I dial Ryder as I stride through the room, searching for answers. Only to stop at a note on the table just as Ryder answers. He chuckles. Have fun, Dee. Try not to kill her. He hangs up while I'm still staring at the note. Fancy a hunt. Find me if you can. I'm yours if you catch me. Signed with a drawing of a little bird. My cock hardens instantly as I toss my phone away and rip off my shirt, so I'm just in my jeans and boots. She wants to play. About fucking time. I'll find her, and just like she said, she will be mine. I'll have her screaming for more, even as I carve open her skin. My favourite fucking game. Her. Little bird, I call, tilting my head to listen. You want to play? I prowl around the dark living room, grinning as I check every place to hide. You should have said so, because I want to play with you. She's clearly not here, so I head down the hallway to her room. Not that she really sleeps there anymore. When I find you, I suck in a breath, moaning at the images crowding my head. I'm going to make you wish you had just asked. My voice is the only sound as I slip into her room. There's a bulge under the quilt and I yank it back, laughing when I spot the pillows shaped like a person. I check the bathroom and wardrobe too, but they are all empty. So I head back out to the hallway, running my fingers across the wall as I hunt. Little bird, I call. Come out, wherever you are. You know you want my cock and hands and pain. I hear movement upstairs, so I race through the living room and take the stairs two at a time until I'm on the landing, and then I look around. Little bird, I coo, don't make this worse for yourself. The longer it takes, the more I will make it hurt. I hear a scuffle again, so I turn to Ryder's room and quickly check it before emerging into the hall again. Did you organise this just for me, little bird? I yell as I head over to investigate my room and the others. Have you been wet all day waiting for me? Imagining what will happen when I find you? Which I will. The rooms are empty and I'm annoyed, so I storm back down the corridor, my cock jerking in my pants at the anticipation of what I will do to her when I find her. Her skin bruises so easily, her blood covering my hands and cock fuck. I'm so distracted that I just walk back and forth, calling out to her. I'm slipping back past the armory, which we don't bother to lock anymore, when the door suddenly opens and something hard and metal presses to my chin, tilting it up. In the dark, I can barely make her out, but I can see enough. My little bird is holding a bat right under my chin as she smirks at me, wearing nothing but her skin. The skin I ache to touch, taste, and make bleed. Thought you were hiding, I murmur.
I got tired of hiding. It's not my style. I realised I would rather hunt you.
She grins. I surprise her when I grab the bat and jerk it to me. She gasps and falls onto my chest as I throw the weapon away, grabbing her neck and slamming her into the wall. I press my front against her back as my hands rove across her skin, squeezing her plump ass and nipping her side before I reach around to tweak her nipples. She moans even as she struggles. Little bird, I murmur, biting her ear. Kept me waiting for what is mine, and I have no choice with me, I tut. I guess I'll have to improvise.
Yeah, I said you had to catch me first.
She laughs, and then her elbow comes back, hitting me right in the gut. I let her go as I double over, wheezing, and she rams her knee into my face before taking off. Laughing, I straighten and feel the blood running from my nose. Oh, it's on, little bird. I fly down the stairs after her, catching her around the waist and throwing her into the living room. She smashes down on the coffee table with a groan, but rolls free and gets back to her feet, still grinning at me.
That all you got? The great Diesel can't even catch his own woman, she taunts.
She tries to rush past me, but I bend down and throw her over my shoulder, ignoring her struggles as I stride over to the table and lay her on it. Stay! I snap as I move away, quickly rushing upstairs to get my rope. Of course, when I return, she's moved and is standing beside the table, glaring at me, even as her lips quirk. Running the rope through my hands, I lick my lips as I feign left around the table, making her run right, which I do too before grabbing her again and throwing her back on the table. She kicks and struggles, but I get both legs tied down and then each hand slamming them to the shiny surface and looping the rope around each corner until she is trussed up for me. She glares up at me as I prowl around the table, trailing my hand across her body and making her shiver again. And I thought you wanted to play, I mutter.
I did, but not to be hogtied to the fucking dining table, she growls.
Eyebrow arched, I trail my hand up her parted thighs and over her wet pussy. I glide my hand over her pussy again, eliciting a gasp, before caressing up and across her arm and stomach, making her huff in annoyance. Ensuring the ropes tied to each leg of the table are tight, I flick open my lighter as she watches, her chest heaving and her blood staining the table, which only makes me harder and her wetter. I can see her.